The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Continue in the word of truth this morning, where we'll complete chapter 7, verses 21 and 24, the book of Genesis, and we'll go into chapter 8. Command is not to forsake the assembly of yourselves, especially in the last days, as is the habit of some, this recognizing the importance of maintaining one's tie to the truth of Bible doctrine for their own spiritual survival. It is through the assembly of the local church that the believer priest is designed to come for the teaching of the truth of Bible doctrine, to be fed by their right shepherd, their spiritual food, so that they can matriculate spiritually, they can advance themselves, maintain the truth of Bible doctrine before them in fighting the Christian battle, if you will, in Satan's world. Obviously, in order for the time that we spend in this capacity to benefit us, it demands that we isolate the sin nature, that we are in fellowship, that God the Holy Spirit is in the rulership role over the real you, or the soul, rebounding as necessary to make this a reality in your life, so that He, God the Holy Spirit, can once again lead us and guide us and direct us into all truth, and be the instrumental part, along with Bible doctrine, in fulfilling God's plan for our life in this capacity. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, again, thank you for yet another opportunity to explore and understand and get to know you via the truth of your word. We ask once again this morning that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten those present at hand in regards to the truth of your word, that this will be edifying, encouraging for each of us, that is applicable in regards to our own lives and how we think and the things we say and do otherwise. We ask that God the Holy Spirit will once again enlighten us to the truth and matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, chapter 7, as we know, if you've been here, brings us to the climax of the flood. Obviously, with the flood reaching its apex, its height, which measured to be 22 and a half feet, approximately 15 cubits above the highest mountain that was there at that time in history. The natural result is wiping out the creation through the method of drowning, as God so promised would happen, because of the negative volition of humanity being rampant at that point in time in history in the pre-diluvian era. And that closes out verse chapter 7 and verses 21 through 24, denoting the total destruction of species. Looking at our verses here. And all flesh that moved on the earth perished. Yeah, the wow consecutive followed with the verb cal and perfect third masculine singular gawa, G-A-W-A, our verb to perish, expired, all flesh literally. Yeah, the common masculine singular noun construct, coal, followed with our noun for flesh, common masculine singular absolute, bashar, B-A-S-H-A-R. That moved on the earth. You had the cow, participle, masculine, singular, absolute, ramash, R-A-M-A-S-H, moving upon the earth, preposition all, denoting location here, A-L, the earth, definite article, common feminine, singular, absolute, our word eretz, E-R-E-T-S. Then he lists the flesh here in terms of lower creation, birds and cattle and beasts, and every swarming thing that swarms upon the earth, then finally, and all mankind. You have the preposition, bait, followed with the definite article, noun, common, masculine, singular, absolute, or word for birds, oph, O-P-H, within the sphere of the genre is the idea with the preposition, within the class of birds, if you will, and conjunction, while, then the preposition bait repeated, and our next genre, definite article, common feminine singer, noun, absolute, behema, B-E-H-E-M-A-H, beasts, within the cattle, as it's translated. Obviously, it goes beyond just cattle, this class of animals, as we know. Beasts here is wow conjunction, preposition bait, same construction, definite article, common feminine singular noun, absolute of kayim, C-H-A-Y-Y-I-M, within the living thing, translated beast, and conjunction, wow, preposition bait, common masculine singular noun, construct, coal, every, then common masculine singular noun, absolute, our noun, charetz, S-H-E-R-E-T-S, plus the definite article, then the cow verb, following the noun, participle, masculine, singular, absolute, charats, S-H-A-R-A-T-S, and every charetz, well, charats, or charetz, charats, with every swarming thing swarming, literally, crawling thing, whatever, might fit in that category. Upon the earth, preposition all, again, definite article or noun for earth, eretz. And all mankind, wow, conjunction, our noun for all or every, common masculine singular construct. Obviously, a collective singular here is in view, coal. And then our noun for mankind, common masculine singular absolute, Adam, man, simply man, A-D-A-M. Verse 22, of all that was on the dry land, all in whose nostrils was the breath of spirit of life died. You had a common masculine singular absolute, coal, all, followed with the relative pronoun, Asher, all which, Asher, A-S-H-E-R, was the breath of life, or the breath of the spirit of having life, literally, all of which, then you had a common feminine singular construct noun, neshama, N-E-S-H-A-M-A-H, was the breath of the spirit, literally in the Hebrew, common both singular, absolute, ruach, R-U-A-C-H, was the breath of the spirit, then literally having life. Common masculine plural absolute, our verb kayayim, C-H-A-Y-Y-I-Y-M. In his nostrils is the preposition bait, followed with the common masculine dual construct with the third masculine singular suffix off. or nose, nostrils, A-P-H. Then you have the preposition men, followed with the noun, common masculine singular absolute, coal, relative pronoun, asher, repeated, asher, A-S-H-E-R. Preposition bait, definite article, common feminine singular absolute noun, charabah, C-H-A-R-A-B-A-H. From all, literally, which was on the dry land. All right, verse 23. Thus he blotted out every living thing that was upon the face of the land. Vowel consecutive, cal imperfect, third masculine singular, our word or verb makah, mashah, M-A-C-H-A-H. He wiped out, like wiping a plate clean, if you will. We saw back in chapter 6, verse 7, chapter 7, verse 4. Then you have the sign of the direct object, followed with a common masculine singular noun, coal, in the construct. All of or every thing here is definite article with the common masculine singular absolute, a word yekum, Y-E-Q-U-M, all that existed, the substance. So is a wipeout. Translated, every living thing that was upon the face of the land. You had a relative pronoun, a share repeated, preposition all, A-L. Face is your common, both plural noun, construct, panea, surface, P-A-N-E-H, face or surface. Ground is our noun with the definite article, common, feminine, singular, absolute, adama, A-D-A-M-A-H, which was upon the face of the land. From man to animals, to creeping things, and to birds of the sky. Preposition men, from, definite article, common masculine singular absolute, noun for man again, or mankind, Adam, A-D-A-M. Preposition ad, unto, if you will, even to, the animals is the common feminine singular absolute, our word behema, used here in a very general sense, B-E-H-E-M-A-H, plus the preposition ad repeated, common masculine singular absolute, excuse me, our noun remesh, R-E-M-E-S-H, even to the crawlers, creeping things, while conjunction, preposition ad, same construction in our word for noun for birds, common masculine singular again, oph, O-P-H. Of the heavens is the common masculine plural absolute, our noun with the definite article on noun, shamayim, S-H-A-M-A-Y-I-M, even to the birds of the heaven. And they were blotted out from the earth, while consecutive. Here, our verb in the nifal form, passive, imperfect, third masculine plural, makah, same word, wiped out, M-A-C-H-A-H. From the earth, preposition men, definite article, common feminine singular, eretz. And then we have the lone survivors, and only Noah was left, together with those that were with him in the ark. Wow, consecutive, then our verb, nifal, imperfect, third masculine, singular, sha'ar, S-H-A-A-R, literally, and he remained, hence was left. Then the adverb, ak, A-K, only, solely, proper noun, Noah, wow, conjunction, with the relative pronoun Asher, followed with a preposition with the third masculine singular suffix, F, I didn't put down the transliteration there, E-T-H, those with him, literally, on the ark, preposition bait, on definite article, common feminine singular absolute, our word for ark, tebah, T-E-B-A-H. In verse 24, we see 5 months of tidal ascendancy. And the water prevailed upon the earth 150 days. So we're given a chronological notation here. You have the wow consecutive, calum perfect, third masculine plural, gabar, to prevail, dominate, G-A-B-A-R, have power over. The waters, definite article, common masculine plural, absolute, mayim, M-A-Y-I-M, waters. Upon the earth, preposition all, definite article, eretz. Then our number 150 days. You have the adjective, taking both genders, plural, absolute, kamish, shim, C-H-A-M-I-S-H, S-H-I-Y-M. Kamish, shim, 50. Wow conjunction, in the adjective, feminine singular construct, me'ah, our word for 100, M-E-A-H. Days is common masculine singular absolute, yom. Rereading the verses. And all flesh that moved on the earth perished, expired. Birds and cattle, birds and beasts, and every living thing, and every swarming thing that swarms upon the earth, and all mankind. Verse 22, of all that was on the dry land, all in whose nostrils was the neshama, the ruach of life, spirit of life, died. Verse 23, thus he blotted out every living thing that was upon the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, and they were blotted out from the earth. And only Noah was left together with those who that were with him in the ark. And the water prevailed, verse 24, upon the earth 150 days. All right, analysis of these final five verses, or four verses, excuse me. One, the final scene of the flood's apex, reaching its height, is preoccupation with the complete destruction of lower creation, including mankind, Adam, man. So the final verses closing out, the climax of the flood is preoccupied with the absolute destruction of living things on the planet. So two, our phrase, all flesh, kol bashar, had corrupted itself, and so, quote, all flesh, end quote, reaped annihilation by drowning. Just as it was made clear earlier of God's intentions of removing grace upon man and imposing judgment. 6, 12, 13, and 17, and God looked upon the earth, behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Then God said to Noah, verse 13, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. Behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. The promise of God, when he gives his word, you can expect things to happen. Verse 17, behold, I, even I. Note here how God takes full responsibility for his own actions. Contrary to what people like to do, blaming others. No, this was his will, his sovereign will. This is the God that we serve. God is not this, you know, sugar daddy, one big bowl of mush love that the fundies like to portray him as, and others. He is a righteous God. Righteousness that demands judgment in exercise against evil and those things that are wrong with respect to creation. So behold, I am bringing the flood of water upon the earth. God, even though he may use the natural order of creation to do his bidding, is ultimately always in control of all things in our universe and on our planet. And the flood was his doing in that sense, to destroy, and their purpose is, verse 17, continue to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life, the spirit of life. From under heaven, everything that is on the earth shall perish. So all flesh had corrupted itself, and all flesh reaped annihilation by drowning. Those who want to pursue evil under negative volition will reap judgment ultimately. And while God is, if you will, long-suffering, patient in regards to his creation, eventually enough is enough. He will overrule all the evil, even as we see it expanding and growing today in our time, even though we'll be watching it essentially on the big screen and be participating in regards to our Lord and Savior in his destruction. Another vision of Jesus Christ, a warrior. He will come in and he too will wipe out all unbelievers and all of his enemies and the enemies of Israel at the second advent, before he establishes his throne on this earth for the next millennium in that dispensation and capacity. This is what righteousness stirs up in regards to one's attitude towards evil. A sense of justice in the form of wrath. Instead of sitting there and catering in agreement or turning a blind eye otherwise. Point three, all flesh, the phrase again, further pointed to the pairs of animals that enter their ark in 6:19, 7:15, and 16. If you want to conclude that sentence, as to species, that's the intent of this sentence, not that these were being wiped out. But it pointed to those animals, and it points out the species, all species in regards to animals. All flesh is referred to in that capacity back in 6:19. Every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind into the ark. 7:15. So they went into the ark to Noah by twos of all flesh. And then 16. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, entered as God had commanded him. 4. So the phrase is comprehensive. Again, 3. I'm going to say this again. All flesh, further pointed to the pairs of animals that enter the ark in 6:19, 7:15, 16, as to species. So for so the phrase is comprehensive, indicating all genetics and sexes of land animals and humanity. So all flesh there in its first use is completely comprehensive, denoting air-breathing animals, those things needing oxygen in order to survive, of lower creation as well as mankind itself. So 5, God made good his threat to remove the grace of life from his creation 120 years prior to the flood. That was the first proclamation of God's judgment becoming a reality in regards to the disposition of the evil of man on the planet, all the way back in 6:3. Then the Lord said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever." in terms of grace, providing time for men to at least come to saving faith under the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, which maintains that role throughout all dispensations. And the reason is because the hardcore negative volition, the unbridled SCA, dominating the population of humanity, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days will be 120 years. God's promise was made five millennia ago, approximately four and a half, and it was carried through. We have his promises today that, again, he's going to come in and he's going to judge this planet. And you can take it to the bank, just as the flood occurred, and all the evidence of that is there for those who are intellectually honest and want to look at it. He will come in and wipe out the evil on this planet, all unbelievers. And in correlation to that, he's going to take the nation and the geography of which we reside, and he's going to incinerate it, burn it, for the remainder of human history, of which it will smolder, and no man will again preoccupy this geography of residence. It's going to happen. All we can do is warn people. That's all you can do, otherwise, usually speaking, in regards to the spiritual realities of life. You can proclaim what God's Word has to say, and they will make their tree, good or bad, according to how they receive that information, their attitude towards it. You could be the greatest salesman in the world, in that sense, like a Billy Graham. But if people are not positive, they otherwise will not believe, no matter how it may be presented. The issue is independent volition of each and every individual that's walked on this planet that has reached the age of culpability. They must make up their own minds. So God's Word is there. Just as in Noah's time, we have all the doctrine necessary to orient and acclimate to the time in which we live. Through the doctrine of the fig tree, we know that we are in the final church age dispensation era, the final era of the church age dispensation. More predominantly, the age of, or the period of Laodicea. What you will see around you is not everybody springing out and jumping up and going, yay, I want doctrine, and populations and churches growing. What you will see is an adoption of a cavalier attitude at best for most believers in regards to doctrine, to commit themselves to persevere with respect to the ongoing maintenance of the teaching of the truth of Bible doctrine. During the end times, don't expect some great revival. If there's some great revival, then why would God vomit us out of his mouth? It's not going to happen as much as we'd like to see it happen. Our desires, we had our preferences. Yeah, bring them on. But it's not going to happen. That's the reality. People often don't like to live in reality. They want to live in their dream world. See, people get comfortable. People who were once committed to doctrine that would never miss Bible class for any given reason. And you see things deteriorate in their own lives over time. You can only pray that they hang in there. Some will, some won't. The matter of fact is, we have all the information needed to know and orient to our time, just as Noah and his family did. And we can find for ourselves our own deliverance here, obviously, as believers, from loss of reward and not letting someone rob us of the prize. See. By adhering to the priorities of Bible doctrine, God's directive will, in regards to our Christian lives. And again, while it should be a given and understood by all that's ever been associated with an adjusted positive local church, NPR is an essential ingredient in regards to one's spiritual advance, stability, and maximize in regards to their Christian life. I know people add their reasons. That's fine. But as far as I'm concerned, save it for the Bema. I don't need to hear it. Either Bible doctrine is most important to a person, or whatever other distraction they have going on in their life is more important. So God made good his threat. Understand, all of our actions will be held accountable. Our attitude towards God and his plan, and if it doesn't fall under blessing and grace, then it must fall of necessity under judgment. And this is what happened to the human race. They completely turned their back on God and obviously embraced the demonic infiltration and influence that Satan and his world had to offer them. Mankind still does that in principle, if not on occasion in reality. So God made good his threat to remove the grace of life from his creation 120 years prior to the flood. Six, the verb that moved all flesh, that moved, ramash, has only been previously used for cold-blooded creatures, such as aquatic crustaceans, lobster, shrimp, things of that nature, and reptiles that live on the land. Its use in that regard, we saw all the way back in chapter 1, 21, 24, 25, 26, 28, and 30. God created great sea monsters and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarmed after their kind. Every living creature that moves, it's our term, repeated in the verses I just cited, also in 6, 7, and 20. I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of land, from man animals to creeping things to the birds of the sky. For I'm sorry that I have made them. Moving things. And verse 20. The birds after their kind, and the animals after their kind, every creeping thing. Things that move. The ground after its kind. Then back, also 7, 8, the clean animals and animals that are not clean, the birds and everything that creeps, that moves on the ground. And verse 14, every beast after its kind, all the cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that moves. Ramash, Ramesh. So 7, here it is used for the locomotion of all creatures requiring air for life. So it is used in regards to specifics, class creatures. Here it is used in a general sense and looks to all creatures that move about, have movement, locomotion. 8, the listing again follows the order of creation in Genesis 1 to include birds, cattle, living things, and every swarming thing that swarms, just as in the restoration account of those things created by God. 9, last but not least, is recorded the destruction of all human flesh residing outside the ark. So all of lower creation, the fauna, animal life, anything that needed air to survive, that had movement, drowned. And this was not enough, as then mankind itself was destroyed, again, apart from the exceptions of the passengers on the ark. So 10, now the death verb perished, gawa, that verb, emphasizes their, quote, last breath of life. They expired. They took their last breath, and then the next attempt to fill their lungs was with water. Too bad the demons didn't create any Aquaman. Maybe they would have survived. Don't think far enough ahead, do they? So 11, Moses makes clear that only creatures that possess lungs relying on dry land drowned. Obviously, the teeming seas of fish, even mammals within oceanic or water environments, they could survive a flood. So 12, hence the phrase, so 11 again, Moses makes clear that only creatures that possess lungs relying on dry land drowned. 12, hence the phrase of all that was on the dry land, Ko asher beha sharaba. So 13, the noun sharaba is used of the surface on which the children of Israel walked when they passed through the sea. Exodus 14:21. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land. They didn't have to walk through mud. God gave them firm, hard ground in order to make their journey across the Gulf of Aqaba. So the waters were divided. 14, the term is further used of real estate laid to waste or ruin. Leviticus 26:31. I will lay waste your cities as well, and will make your sanctuaries desolate, and will not smell your smoothing aromas. Make the cities a wasteland, if you will. Verse 33. You, however, will scatter among the nations, will draw a sword after you as your land becomes desolate and the cities become waste. Psalm 9:7. That the Lord abides forever, acknowledging His eternal life. He has established His throne for judgment. That's not right. I have to double check that one. Psalm 102:6. I resemble a pelican of the wilderness. I have become like an owl of the waste places. Areas of desolation, etc. So that one works. Then 109:10. Let his children wander about and beg, and let them seek sustenance far from their ruined homes. The term here pictures humanity having contaminated the planet with their evil. Hence, it's laid to waste. It's ruined. People worry about all other kinds of things ruining our planet, but they don't recognize it's their own negative volition and unbridled SCAs that's ruining it. That mankind is to blame, ultimately, is realized then in the next phrase of 22b. All in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life. So that phrase emphasizes mankind in its participation and role of authority over planet Earth and the creatures that also perished based to their own, due to their own negative volition, the mankind's negative volition and evil. While all air-breathing creatures perish, the noun for breath here, neshama, is reserved only for men, not animals. That breath of life looks at the spiritual realities of the soul. And for original creation of man, the human spirit, as is used back in Genesis 2:7. You don't see the term used for animals. Lord God formed man with dust, of breath, dust from the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, the neshama. Man became a living being. Not until God plugs in the soul of the fetus being born into this world does it become a human life. It is nothing otherwise before that than a living organism. You're not truly human or of higher creation if you do not possess a soul, whatever else you may be. So again, you know, as we know, Christians often are their own worst enemies, as you have the bleeding hearts out there trying to claim abortion as murder. Whatever else it is not murder. You got to have a soul in order to be murdered. We get mailers from different kinds of churches. Join us in our Stop Abortion and Save the Life campaign or whatever. I'll save your life by throwing this in the trash, instead of showing up. Anyway. So all air-breathing creatures perish. The noun for breath is reserved only for men, not animals. The neshama. 18. Lower creation here, it, again, is to be viewed as cursed by association in the judgment. It's lower creation, as we know in Romans 1, that men often not only, but often like to turn into their idols of worship. Egypt and their scarabs. And everybody thinks, oh, that's so cool. Scarab is nothing more than a dung beetle. It lives off the human waste or the waste of animals. So let's celebrate that, right? Let's worship that, right? I'll worship the God that fleshes it. So 19, the normal term now for died, which is muth, is used regarding humanity looking to the separation of their souls from their bodies in comparison of terms, expired, etc. Normally muth is used, and that denotes separation of soul from the body. That is, the technical term of death is when the silver cord is broken, the soul is unplugged from the higher brainstem of the human body. And the body then simply turns back into matter that has no life. The real you, hence you can see why we call the soul the real you, moves on. Whatever information, memory, things you have stored in your brain computer has been transferred to the computerized mechanism of your soul. The soul is a phenomenal aspect of our being, which men generally often deny its existence. It has the impression, maintains the impression of what we are in time, what we have become in regards to our physical bodies. As we know, it has recall. It can remember what goes on, hence it has consciousness. Cool part about the soul, it doesn't need air to breathe. So while their physical bodies died, their souls moved on and continued to exist, unfortunately for these, in Sheol, Hades, soon to be united with their permanent residence in the lake of fire. Our normal term for death to indicate this, 5-5. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years and he died. His soul left his body. 8, 11, 14 throughout the chapter as he gives the chronology of the line of Seth. So 20, in this way, God blotted out every living thing through drowning, through cutting off their oxygen supply, causing the body to give up its soul. Blotted out every living thing. Macha et ko yakum. 21. The now yakum looks to all that existed in the realm of humanity. That would include half human, half angels. They're obviously still human, and they would have souls. And if they have flesh, then they are susceptible to physical death. So 22, hence, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, they were blotted out or wiped out from the earth. They became fodder for the fish. 23, verse 23, serves as the death notice in the narrative, visualizing, if you will, an epithet for their demise. For man, the animals, the creeping things, the birds of the sky, they were blotted out from the earth. Put that on their tombstone. Put that in the paper in their obituaries. 24, the irony is that the epithet also lists survivors. And that's what you'll find often in the obituary. someone so-and-so died, but they were survived by, and here's what you have in regards to humanity and the animal world. All were blotted out, survived by 8 humans and the species of land animals designated by God. So the irony is that the epitaph also lists the survivors. Only Noah was left with those with him on the ark. The spared, verse 25, versus the condemned visualizes the grace and judgment incorporated into the whole event. Grace and judgment for those who reject the grace, judgment. 26, sometimes it is good to be left behind. Was left. Sometimes it's good to be left behind, our verb shar, as in the case of Luke 17:34 through 36, where the one left behind there enters the millennium. So, not always is it good to be first. Looking at the tribulational period, here Luke 17, bringing on the second advent, whereas those in their human bodies will meet their destiny via face-to-face with Jesus Christ, and their destiny depends upon their volition, whether they're believers or not believers. As we know, Christ will dispatch all unbelievers straight to Sheol, Hades, at this point in time, and only believers will once again move forward into human history on this planet. Obviously more than 8, as we had in the pre-diluvian period. But they're the ones, if you will, left behind. They're the ones getting all the bad raps, meet all the pressure, facing the period of the tribulation. But at the end, if they're not martyred out beforehand, at the end, they get the great reward. Bye-bye. Now, what are you talking about? Being exonerated in regards to hanging in there. This would be quite a moment of emotional exhilaration for these believers that survived to see the justice come in this respect. Luke 17:34 through 36. I will tell you, on that night, looking towards the second advent, there will be 2 men in one bed. One will be taken and the other will be left. The one taken is the one that's going to be baptized in fire. There will be 2 women grinding at the same place. One will be taken and the other will be left. Just as it is in normal history, you never know where you have a believer and an unbeliever even working side by side. 2 men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other will be left. The one that is left, they're the ones that get to go into the new millennial kingdom. So 27, Noah is delivered because of Yahweh, and Noah's families and creatures because of Noah in this particular case. All right, let's go ahead and take our break. Finish this up, second session, and get into chapter 8.